Matthew chapter 2. Okay, let me read in beginning in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet," and quoting out of Micah, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to him that I may come and worship him." Yeah, some kind of worship he wants to give Jesus. "And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they had opened their treasures. They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Please pray with me. Father, we are always grateful for your word, to be ministered to by it. And tonight, we are so thankful for the joy and the hope we have in Jesus Christ coming into this earth and being our Savior. And we thank you for him tonight. And we just want to worship you now in spending this little bit of time looking at these things in this chapter and some other things, Lord, and then celebrating communion together. So we thank you and we praise you tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, tomorrow's a wonderful day, isn't it? The day we celebrate Jesus' birth. It's not the time of the year that his birth actually was, but this is the day that we choose to celebrate it. So we get to thank the Lord and sanctify anything in prayer and say, "Lord, this is the day we're going to celebrate your birth." And I'm grateful for it, and I think we look forward to it with great anticipation for all kinds of reasons, some very practical, aren't they? To get to get together with family and see friends and have good food. And you know, you overindulge and you eat more than you should eat, and you roll away from the table, and you know the drill. We all do that, and it's a wonderful time. It's a good thing. But I think also it's wonderful because we get to receive gifts, isn't it? It's nice to receive gifts. I mean, who of us here, if you actually don't like to receive gifts, I'd like you to raise your hand. Anybody here doesn't like to receive gifts? Because if you did, I have an address I can give you to send the gifts that you should have gotten, and I'll take care of them for you. But we love to get gifts, don't we? Well, tomorrow we celebrate the greatest gift mankind has ever seen. We'd have no hope, no eternal hope, apart from Jesus. Because God the Father sent his Son from a place that was so great to be described again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul described it as being a crime to attempt to describe what he heard in heaven. And that's what Jesus left, to come to this earth, to live on nights like tonight. He went through rainy days, he had colds, he sniffled, he went through everything like we did and do, and yet he went to that cross to die for us. What a great Savior we have. Tonight, I want to focus on this interesting passage, and we'll look at this in a little bit of Luke chapter 2 as well, but my main focus tonight is I want to look at the gifts that were brought to him. Isn't it interesting that we can bring gifts to the Lord? He will accept gifts from us. Now, we can in no way earn salvation. We can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to get to a place where you say, "God, I have earned my way into heaven. You must let me in." That'll never happen. It's a gift from the Lord. And we're very grateful that the Lord has given us a gift. But we can say thank you to him. And in that way, we can bring gifts to the Lord. And we're going to look at these wise men and that they brought three gifts. And I think the Father, I think he supernaturally moved them to bring these three gifts, because we're going to have fun looking at what these three things represent in Scripture and some fine things that the Lord explains to us. Well, before we do that, I want to give you a little timeline as to these events here as we look at Jesus' birth. And I will be looking at Luke chapter 2 a lot. In fact, you can feel free to turn there if you want to right now. The next few verses I'm going to read to you as we read the account are out of Luke chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2, the two chapters in the Gospels that cover a lot of the details as to Jesus' birth. Joseph and Mary traveled from Nazareth in the region of Galilee to Bethlehem. That's a long journey. And if any of you women have been pregnant, I'm not a woman, I have not been pregnant. So I take your word for it that it's a difficult journey when you're pregnant, even in a moving vehicle that's comfortable. She was on a donkey on a long journey. And I can't imagine what she went through, but she went through a lot. But anyway, we're told in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David. So they arrived there, and when they got to this place, the night of his birth, she delivered a baby there in Bethlehem. Chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 of Luke. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And so she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So they were there in the inn. It wasn't even a house. In fact, I looked up that word in the Greek. It's not the same word as house. It literally was an inn. In those days, it was kind of like, oftentimes it was just four walls. It didn't even have a ceiling many times. These places, these inns that they would go to, there wasn't even room enough there. They put him in the area where the animals were. And that's what Jesus came to. Incredible humility our Lord displayed. Then, after he was there, we see that angels appeared to shepherds in the field. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. This is how we know it was not winter time. It wasn't December, because the weather there is very much in Israel like here. It would have been too cold in the middle of December to be out there with the shepherds. It was probably around the April time frame. But here they are, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, just an angel, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And so a gift from God. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Well, those shepherds said, "Hey, this is a great thing. Let's go see this thing." And so they took off. It says, "So it was," verse 15, "when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." And so we see that they were there and they delivered that, and the shepherds were there. I don't believe that these wise men who we're going to focus on were there that night. I believe they came a few days later. Not exactly sure how long. But it's interesting because they were here in this area of Bethlehem, I believe for approximately 40 days after that birth. And I'll tell you why. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "When the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, and the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him into Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." So under the law of Moses, there was a practice that they had to bring the child and present them to the Lord, but more specifically, the mother had to even come and offer a sacrifice for herself after having delivered a child. We're told this in Leviticus chapter 12, and I'm going to read that to you. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean.'" And then verse 4, "She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled." So a woman was not allowed to go into the temple for 40 days after the delivery of a child, a son. For a woman, for some reason, it was 80 days when a woman had a daughter. And it's not to mean anything greater or lesser. It was just different. Men and women are very different. If any of you have had boys and girls, you know very well, they're very different. But here, the Lord had this time. So this 40-day period. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 39, it says, "When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth." So with that, we see in Scripture that they were in that area of Bethlehem only for about 40 days. 40 days. And they went back to Nazareth. And then we know they fled to Egypt as an angel directed them to for some length of time until the death of Herod. And then the Lord called them back to Nazareth. But we never see them in Bethlehem except for this little 40-day window. And that's when I believe the wise men came to visit him. That was the one window we see in Scripture when they were there in this place. And let me just tell you a few things about these wise men. Number one, they came to Jerusalem first. Now we're back in Matthew chapter 2, this passage I've selected for tonight. They came to Jerusalem looking for this child. And we see that in verse 1, that these wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. They're looking for him. They had seen a sign from the Lord that this wonderful thing had occurred, and they're coming and looking. And then we know that the religious establishment in Jerusalem, interestingly enough, they knew where he was to be born. That we see that here, right? Notice that verse 4, the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, when he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, oh, they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a religious leader in that day, and there's this star come, these wise men come, because they think this incredible, where's your Messiah coming from? Man, I'd have seen if I get time off from work, I'm going down to Bethlehem. I want to see what this thing is that's occurring here. And yet, we don't see any of that. It's just interesting. But we don't see that any of them making their way down there. But these wise men, they sure wanted to go. Fact number 3 about these wise men, they were sent to look for Jesus in Bethlehem by Herod. Please notice verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. He wanted to worship him with a knife. He wanted him dead. He certainly did. We know that for sure. Because after these wise men went there and found him, we're specifically told that an angel directed them not to go back to Herod. So it would have been probably a couple more months before Herod figures out, hey, these guys are not coming back. So a window of time has passed for them to make it to Bethlehem. He doesn't know how much time had passed before the time they got there after having seen the star. Some length of time has passed, so Herod, trying to be on the safe side, had every male child up to 2 years old murdered in the city of Bethlehem. Incredible story here. It really happened. Mothers really saw their children killed by this king. And so these wise men, they came here. They were sent by him. And then again, we know that Joseph and Mary, they went to Jerusalem. And so they had to have come during this little window of time. And then the wise men then did return to their own country. Now, we also don't know how many wise men there were who came here. We often think of 3 because there were 3 gifts. But there were these 3 men that came. And we learn from this passage, there are always those who claim they want to worship the Lord, but there's no sincerity in their worship. And we can even deceive ourselves to thinking we want to know the Lord. But really, if we earnestly desire to know the Lord, he will reveal himself to us. This King Herod, he didn't want to know the Lord. It was threatening his kingdom, his power structure. He didn't want any of that. He wanted to get rid of him. But I love here this wonderful picture that the wise men came seeking him. And you know, it's wonderful. I always love it this time of the year when I see those signs out that say wise men still seek him. You ever seen those signs? I love those. Wise men do still seek the Lord. And they came here, we were told again, they came to worship him. We're told that right in the beginning, verse 2, they said, we have seen his star in the east, we have come to worship him. And again, one of the things they wanted to do was they wanted to worship him with these 3 gifts. And so I just want to focus tonight, I think the Lord's just drawn my attention to verse 11. Please look down there again, Matthew 2, verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And this is one of the reasons I believe it was during that 40-day window, because remember, they were first in the inn, right? But the word here for house is a completely different word. It's a word they'd gotten into a little more permanent situation as they were waiting for her time of impurity to pass to go to Jerusalem. But they're in some house staying there during this time. But we see here that when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I just want to briefly look at these again. Number one gift, they brought him gold. Gold. Gold in Scripture is a picture of heaven. It's a picture of heaven. When you look at it throughout Scripture, we see that it represents heaven. Let me just read you a couple of passages. Exodus 25, we read, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze. So when they were going to build the temple, the tabernacle there out in the wilderness, the Lord had the people bring things to Moses, and they brought three different metals. Well, what's interesting, if you've ever looked at a picture of the tabernacle, when they came in the outer area, they had the court, because they had this large outer area where they put up the, I'm losing the name of it, but the draperies, I'll call it that because I can't think of it right now, but the outer area. When you would come into that, there was this increasing kind of picture of metal. The first thing that you would come into when you'd come to sacrifice your animal was bronze or brass, and that was a picture of judgment in Scripture. Whenever you see the animal sacrifice, it was always on brass, the weakest of metal. And then yet when you would get closer to the Lord, there was some brass on the actual tapestry that was the actual tabernacle itself, but there was some silver mixed in there too for clasps that were in there. But once you made your way into the holy place, or the Holy of Holies, everything in there is gold. And it's a picture of heaven. And he specifically told Moses that it was to be a model of heaven. Everything's gold. The table of showbread, and the altar of incense, and the menorah there, the lights, and then, of course, inside the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, that it was completely covered in gold, and the seat, it was all gold. It was a picture of heaven. God was communicating through this first gift, heaven has come to earth. Heaven is here tonight, here in your midst. What a beautiful picture. Jesus is it. And then we see that throughout Scripture again. Even this morning, I was reading in Revelation 15 and reminded, out of the temple came seven angels having the seven plagues. This is the real heaven, not the tabernacle. Clothed in pure bright linen, having their chests girded with golden bands. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. All gold in heaven. So the picture of gold. The second gift is a wonderful one as well, frankincense. Now that is, frankincense was made from a secret formula, and it's given in the Old Testament. The Lord was very precise about what he told them to use in this. And it was an odorous resin that was imported from Arabia in that time frame. Let me read to you an interesting description of frankincense. It was an aromatic gum resin that secreted as a milky white substance by various species of trees, and it was related to the terebinth and shrubs which yield myrrh and balsam. Interesting, so related to myrrh a little bit, but it is different. The gum which exudes as transparent beads from incisions of resin canals cut into the bark slowly congeals, and it is later pressed into cylindrically shaped yellow pieces which are then ground into powder. And here's the key. When heated or burned, it produces a pleasant, penetrating odor similar to that of balsam. We also know that it exuded its fragrance when it was crushed, beaten, or put under pressure. Isn't that an interesting picture of our Lord? The more pressure you put on this stuff, it would put out an odor. When it was burned, when it was mutilated, it would put out an odor. And it's just like our Lord. He went through all of that. He put up with all of that because of his great love for us. And he never had a foul odor to himself. He was always pure, always lovely. And so we see this wonderful picture of the presence of the Lord. You know, when we have pressure put upon us, I don't know about you, we tend to show some other odors, don't we? Sometimes they're not so good. You know, sometimes I think of like a cup of coffee. If I were sitting here tonight, and I will be a little later, I'll have a cup of coffee. And if I was holding, you were to bump into that cup, right? That cup would spill over. It's just really when you bump into something, what you reveal is what's in it. It just kind of comes out, doesn't it? When we get bumped in life, what's in there kind of comes out. Sometimes it's not so pleasant. But when I look at the Lord, everything came out of him was pleasant and beautiful. And so we see in the frankincense that he was here to put up with sinful man, to die for us, and to be put under that pressure, to go to that cross and put off that fragrant aroma that he is. I love when the Bible describes that we are the aroma of Christ, and we get to be that too. And then finally, gift number three, myrrh. Myrrh speaks of death. There's no getting away from that. It speaks of death. I did an interesting study just on the word for myrrh in the New Testament. It only appears in literally a handful of places. It appears here in Matthew chapter 2. It appears when Jesus was on the cross. It was mixed in the wine that was lifted up to him to drink. A picture of death. He's dying on the cross. There it is. And the only other place we see it in Scripture is in the book of Revelation, the church of Smyrna. That's the word, Smyrna. And that was the persecuted church where many of them were being martyred for their faith. In fact, Jesus, as he described himself to each church in a way that they needed him to be what they needed him to be, he said, "Behold, I am him who was dead, and I am alive forevermore." Jesus went to that cross. This speaks of death. And where it was else it was used, one other place I didn't mention, was after his death, it was used as an embalming, and they embalmed Jesus. When Joseph of Arimathea came with that, him and Nicodemus came with 100 pounds, I think it was described, of myrrh to put upon his body, a picture of death. And so we look at those wonderful gifts. Gold, heaven has come to this earth. And amazing that not only did he come to this earth, he's willing to die for you and be put down by sinful man. And everything he did with all the pressure put upon him on this earth, everything he went through, he never once sinned. Everything he did was perfect. And finally, he went to that cross to die for us. What a beautiful picture. And again, I think that the Lord intentionally moved upon these men. Now, put yourself for a moment into the shoes of these men. We think of these wise men, and with some level, I think we take it for granted. Imagine you were one of them, and you see the star from the east, and you think the Messiah has come to the earth. Will you get the Messiah for a gift? You think you had a hard time picking out a gift for somebody this year. Imagine picking, for the guy who's got everything, he's got everything. This is the king of the universe. Everything belongs to him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's nothing you can get him that can't have it by simply creating it. He doesn't even have to go buy it. He can make it. He can do anything. But these men, I think, were supernaturally directed by the Father to bring these three gifts because of these things that they represent. And, of course, the Bible tells us in the volume of the book, it is written of me. It's all about Jesus. He told some of the Pharisees, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but these are they which testify of me." The whole Bible is about Jesus. It's all about him. These three gifts are all about him. And tonight, before we celebrate communion, I just want to tell you one other really beautiful picture. And I'm going to ask you to turn there because I think it's such an amazing picture. Turn to Isaiah chapter 60, please. We'll close with one verse out of the book of Isaiah. And let me give you a little context before I read this verse. In the book of Isaiah, late in the book, it's describing Jesus' millennial reign. Jesus is going to come and he's going to reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. And he's going to show us what perfect justice looks like once and for all. Isaiah chapter 60. And I'm just going to read to you the first 6 verses, but we're going to really key on the last verse. Speaking of Jesus' reign. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness over the people. But the Lord will arise over you. His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come." So people are going to come from all over the world to worship Jesus in his millennial reign. But please notice this incredible little verse, this little line from verse 6. What shall they come with? Do you notice there? They shall come with gold and incense. What's missing? Just the myrrh's gone. Jesus is not going to go to the cross anymore. He died once. He's not going to that cross again. And when he is reigning here, he's going to make it clear to us his death is done. It has been paid for. They won't bring that anymore because he has already gone to the cross for us. What a wonderful picture. I love that here that the Lord communicates to us once again throughout Scripture. It is all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about him. Well, tonight, with